And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister Mare Bear. What's up?
Hey, everybody.
And this week we are back taking on Season 9 of The Office with
Trudging
is so the word. This is not going to be a fun week, guys. I know I'm trying to keep positive.
It is going
to
be a fun episode because
we're gonna
Kevin
laugh.
And I are going to laugh a lot.
Yeah, but...
just not at the show.
If you're a fan of these shows, you're in for a rude fucking awakening. So we're doing episodes 15 and 16 of Season 9. Couples Discount, and Moving On.
Yes, sir.
Now, before we start, Mare Bear, let everybody know, if they didn't listen, what we talked about last week.
Sure, dude. So last week we talked about episode 13, Junior Salesman, where basically Dwight brought in all of his reject friends to interview for Jim's part-time position.
This was an okay episode.
Yeah, no, this one was funny because we got to see Rolf screaming at a rabbit. We got to see Trevor completely
all-time
fail.
Great.
And then Dwight figures out that none of his friends are... good.
Yeah, they're all like lunatics.
His ex-babysitter/ex-girlfriend
lover.
Was there. Yeah, lover was double parked. She was there. I almost called him fucking Grogu from The Mandalorian.
Gabor. Zeke.
Yeah. As soon as I said Grogu, I couldn't say Gabor. It wouldn't come out of my mouth. Yes. Sensei Ira
Troy.
Was there. Yeah, lots of people were there. So basically... Clark goes in, kills the interview, and he is now...
The junior salesman.
And then we have vandalism, where one of the warehouse guys, who we've never met before...
Okay, I just realized something. And we're going to... So, because it comes up in, I think, the next episode, or one of...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next episode.
Yeah, this is the next one.
So, Andy comes back. Spoiler alert, the episodes we're talking about, Andy comes back.
Yes.
No, but... they're hiring a junior salesman, and Wallace doesn't ask about why is Dwight doing that. Because we're going to talk about this week about Wallace and Andy. That's a giant plot hole that I just thought about.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, the shoddy writing of Season 9 rears its fucking head.
Yeah, man. They mailed it in here.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, continue with the...
Vandalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he vandalizes Pam's mural, which, let's be honest, was mediocre at best. And he drew butts all over it. So her and Dwight are off on a rampage trying to figure out who did it. They find him. They draw him with saggy boobs on his truck.
His prize truck.
Yeah. And he comes after Pam. And we find out that Boom Mike Bryan is... he protects Pam. He uses his boom mic basically as like a...
clothesline the guy with
well,
it.
Well, what's that...
like a staff, like Donatello the
Turtle.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to think, what's the... wrestlers used to use it?
Kendo stick.
Kendo stick. He used it like a kendo stick. And then he got fired. Frank from the warehouse got fired. And nothing happened to Pam, who defaced somebody's personal property.
Yeah, nothing to her.
Nope.
And that's that.
And that's that. And so now we're on to Season 9, Episode 15. Couples Discount. Dude, take her away.
No cold open.
No, it was weird.
Yeah.
It just felt very strange.
Because,
this has only happened, twice.
Yeah, there's
since
no build-up.
Season one.
Yeah, there's no build-up. It just happened, so whatever. Mm-hmm. Jim
I
and Pam...
had to sit there and let it happen to me.
That's right. Jim and Pam are at their desks, because Jim switched a day in Philly to be there for Valentine's Day with Pam.
Aww.
Aaron wants to have fun with Pete, because Andy is back tomorrow.
Dun, dun, dun.
And she's going to break up with him, so it's going to be miserable. Pete does a talking head where he's like not really sure that she's going to do it. And he uses the analogy of his dog when he was a kid, who the day before they put him down, they did everything he wanted to do. Or all the things he loved to do.
Yeah.
And that's what Aaron's doing with him. And then she's like, do you want to play frisbee in the parking lot?
Like catch in the parking lot?
Yeah, and he makes us look like I'm the dog.
Yep.
Dwight acts out as Andy in his office, and he's just like, he doesn't miss him.
Him mocking Andy is actually fantastic.
I'll sign that, Dwight.
You're the greatest salesman,
which basically
sir.
Means that for 3 months, everybody's been forging his signature and shit. Yeah.
Lots of fraud going on here.
Yeah. So Kevin is drinking milk that Andy left behind, but he's only been taking a little each day, so Andy won't know when he comes back, and he says goodbye, chunky lemon milk.
Oh God! But that's where it's revealed that he's been gone for
three months, 3 whole months. It's been
it's not a few weeks. At first it was 10 days.
It's been most of the season.
Well, yeah, but at first it was just oh, I'm going on a 10-day trip, and then it got extended. But they never really gave us a time.
No,
a reference of the time.
The only thing we had was to gauge, Because, you know, the episodes touch like, oh, there's a Christmas app or, mm-hmm. you know, Valentine's here. Yeah. So, like, that's the only thing we had to go on was the show's timeline of yeah. seasons. Everyone then decides to have one last bossless day. Mm-hmm. Meredith says, let's get some booze and cocaine. Phyllis says the mini mall has a deal where
couples
on Valentine's Day get a discount on shit.
I love Angela says, oh, there's a nail place there where I get my feet detailed. They use a watch repair kit. Yeah, detailed, not done, detailed.
How small that is. I picture like the little screwdriver that you fix your glasses right. with. Yeah. So everybody starts pairing up. We get Clark and Nellie, Stanley and Phyllis, and then Oscar asks Daryl. And Daryl's like, no, fuck no. And then yeah. he sees the camera. He's like, I don't have a problem with it. No, not at all.
Yeah.
And like him and Oscar go, but Daryl's very clearly uncomfortable.
Well, he's like, it's not a big deal. And Daryl's like, stop talking about it, man.
Yeah, we're just going to do it. So Pam made lunch reservations at State Street Grill.
Real restaurant, real, guys.
Real place outside of Scranton. Summit. Yeah, outside of Scranton. They have igloos. It's
a fancy place.
In the winter.
Yeah.
In winter. I don't know why I said winter there.
Winter.
That's the Scrantonian coming
Yes,
out.
It is. Wow. But, I'm ashamed to know you I as hate my
that.
Brother.
Oh, God. But yeah, the winter, winter, they have these little like inflatable igloos that people can eat in.
Which is now really popular because of COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
It was popular. Well, around here, they were special for having it because you could still outdoor dine in the winter. But yeah,
now it actually serves a purpose.
Yeah, so, it's not just kitschy.
So, but they're going and Jim's like, oh, romantic lunch on mm-hmm. Valentine's Day. And she's like, oh, but we're going with Brian and Alyssa.
Wah,
and
wah,
they, she
wah.
Wants to thank him. They're going to thank him for
Why
saving her.
Why would
she
choose Valentine's Day I know. To fucking thank him?
I know. That's weird.
Like, that's a bitch move. And then, I'm sorry, Pam, but you never see your husband. He changes days to get up here for Valentine's Day, and you're like, hey, the guy that I'm having an emotional affair with, him and his wife, we're going to go out with them.
I don't know what to make of all this, honestly. But, like, Jim's like, okay, we'll get a bottle of wine and celebrate later then.
Yep. So, let's make a third helper.
And then Jim does a talking head where he says he's so grateful, and he's like, you know, you guys know Brian's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you notice anything that, did he say it with any inflection that you noticed at all or anything?
I mean, I think you could tell that he was annoyed that he was spending Valentine's Day. That it was that,
yeah. But he has no inkling of what, yeah.
No. Okay. He genuinely thinks, I think, that Brian is like, no, he's a good guy. Yeah, like, we've known him and his wife for years. Like, you guys know he's a good guy. No. So, he has no idea the Mack truck that's about to hit him.
So, they all walk into a nail salon together, the one that
Angela gets her feet detailed at. Yeah.
And they all make a fuss over Angela. Now, it should be noticed these are Asian women. It's all like a stereotypical yes. kind of thing.
And they're all like, get the baby nail clippers.
And they all start laughing. Like, two of them start laughing at Clark, saying mm-hmm. he looks like a pretty girl without his glasses. And
Which
Nellie,
he does.
Yeah, he does. He's very feminine. And then Nellie joins in, and she says something mean about, like, getting him a training bra.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're developing so nicely.
Grown up, tits and all. And that's when, like, Clark freaks out, and he's just like, nope, no discount. I'm
full
not,
price.
Not with her. Oscar and Daryl get turned down.
I love how she goes, turns out I can't even keep a fake boyfriend around.
Because she's so awful.
Yep.
Daryl and Oscar try to get the discount, and there's an older Asian lady who is, like, doing her fingers together, saying, two men, not work.
No
like,
work. Yeah.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. And she's, you know, discriminating.
She's like, two men, not no couple.
Yeah. And then, like, a younger one comes over and whispers in her ear, which I think she's like, no, it's cool.
Yeah.
And then the old lady's like, no, we not serve you. I'm doing this accent.
I know.
This
is
how it is.
That's literally how the woman acted
yeah,
it out.
Exactly.
Like,
so,
she's a sexist Korean woman. That's what it said.
Are they Korean?
The subtitles I had on said that they were speaking Korean.
Okay. So
that's the only reason I applied that title.
I thought you were
title.
Just throwing that out
no,
there.
No. Okay. I applied the title thanks to Netflix subtitles.
So Daryl, like, freaks out and, like, barges out with Oscar. He's like, we'll take our business elsewhere.
He does go off on a tirade, but he's like, we are a two-income household, and we have no children or disposable income.
We'll take our business elsewhere. And he holds Oscar's hand and leaves.
Yeah.
So Jim and Pam arrive at the State Street Grill, and Brian's there alone, and he sees the cameras and does, like, a gulp.
Yeah, he's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. And, Jim thanks him, and he's, you know, we find out that, because they're like, oh, where's Alyssa? And he's mm-hmm. like, we didn't make it. This guy is so fucking dramatic. Oh, my God. He's
almost as dramatic as that 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, God. He's so the fucking worst. This guy is, like, the fucking worst. I swear.
Oh, Mike Brian, you suck.
So Dwight is doing pretend time in Andy's office again. Mm-hmm. And he hears hello, Dwight. And Andy's behind him, dressed in, like, a beanie, and he has this big beard. He looks like Rasta Andy. That has, like, Andy.
Beads in it yeah. and shit.
He looks like a fucking jackass. Ugh, so I hate him. So, everyone comes back in, and Andy, like, embraces Aaron. He's like, oh my god, and I tries. Missed you. Yeah, and she's, like, high-fiving him. She won't hug him. And he says, it's Valentine's Day surprise for Aaron. And he pulls out these island instruments and starts singing. What's he say?
Aruba. Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what Kevin says. Baruba, Baruba. And then Kevin's like, Aruba, Aruba.
Yeah, and he's like playing like, kind of like the thing when they had the jam band with Robert California.
Yeah.
Like that fish that you're...
Yeah, the fish
with the scale. Stick. And Dwight tells him to clean up because David Wallace is coming today.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody finds out that Andy has been in contact with David Wallace. So, like, Wallace doesn't know Andy's been gone for 3 months. But then we get a talking head from Aaron where she says, he sent me 4 emails.
Listen, I'm not... You guys know I'm not an Aaron fan.
No, she's in the right.
But she's totally in the right here.
So, Jim and Pam and Brian are together, and he's telling them about the breakup, and he starts crying. And then he says to Pam, we have to stop seeing each other like this, communicating when we are breaking down in front of each other. And Jim's face is like this, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Say, huh? The fuck, Beasley? Mm-hmm. And so we go back to the office. Andy is with Dwight about an unapproved price point for Jan at the White Pages. And he calls her and tells her, and like he ends up blowing Dwight's biggest account.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, you're trying to gouge me for more money? I'm exercising my 30-day out.
Yeah, opt out. And so he loses it. Dwight's freaking out. And he goes into the break room, and everybody's basically hating on Andy.
Yeah.
And they want to... It turns into this thing where they want to rat on him to Wallace that he's been gone for 3 months. And nobody wants to do it for various reasons. And Meredith says... Meredith, again, in season 9, she just turns into a gangster.
Yeah.
And she's like, nobody ain't called Meredith Palmer no snitch. You know, they may have called me, and I have them written down here. Floor meat? Sure. Vomit mop? Uh-huh. Flesh Hoover,
oh God, which I might know. Be
the most vilely descriptive thing I've ever heard. And like, eventually Pete cuts it down. He's like, "Why does no one stop her?" And
but never know, narc.
Aaron says they all used to love Andy, so let it be on his own. Like, let him fuck it up.
Yeah,
like we're not gonna rat on him. Let him fuck it up himself. And then Andy enters all cleaned up. He's wearing a suit. He shaved
his
beard. Yo,
that haircut still fucking sucks.
I don't know what to make of this haircut. It's like this 70s. Wig is
awful.
Yeah. Is it a wig?
It has to be.
It's horrendous. So Jim and Pam now arrive back, and he's kind of like pissed, but like not like angry.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, he's sulky. And he tells her that he feels like a chump. And he's not even mad at Brian because he wasn't here. You know, like, and Pam defends herself for like... Her excuse is, well, I didn't want to stress you out, so I didn't bring my baggage to you, which is the worst thing you could say.
Because
Jim's like,
husband.
I'm your husband.
Yeah.
Like, marriage isn't going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be stressful.
If you
like,
have baggage, I'm the one you bring it to,
like,
not somebody else.
I think the one thing that Jim makes clear to her, even though she doesn't accept it, this whole storyline,
mm-hmm.
is that he cares more about their marriage than work, but he has to succeed at this work to make their marriage better.
Mm-hmm.
The job down in Philly. Because he'll be better, he'll provide more money for them if it works out,
mm-hmm.
he'll be happier, and everything will be better for the family. He's not just doing it selfishly.
Mm-hmm.
But Pam seems to think he is.
But he's not communicating that to her.
No, but it
not
seems...
Not well,
it
at
seems
least
that
it's getting through to her.
But the thing is, like, I'm watching this and getting that. Maybe it's a male-female thing. I don't know.
Men are from Mars.
Yeah, okay.
Women are from Venus, yeah. I guess.
Vajayjay's for Venus, yes.
Vajayjay's painting.
So... then he just says, forget about it, and they go inside. Andy asks for 3 months of highlights from everyone, and that's when Wallace arrives, and he's stoked about the quarterly numbers. I think I passed over something here. Let me go back to my notes here. Andy goes to accounting. Oh, no.
Oh.
Andy goes to accounting to get all of his checks that he hasn't
for
cashed.
For 12 weeks.
Yeah, and then there's also a bonus one in there because they exceeded their targets for the last quarter, you know, the last three months. Yes. So that's like the whole thing Wallace is excited about the numbers for. So just Andy's trying to get like people to tell him what he missed or whatever.
Because
Wallace goes down to see Val about the warehouse worker she fired. And
He's like, see, guys, that's what I need to know.
He's shocked about, like, that. So then Dwight says the warehouse burnt down. That's why he was fired.
It was in all the papers. Yeah.
And then Phyllis says they sell balloons now. And Clark says that Kathy Ireland is the spokesmodel for Dunder Mifflin Paper. And she does nude ads over in Europe.
Yes.
So Andy is now in his office with Wallace.
Which, did you see Angela's reaction to that? Like, oh. She's, like, appalled. Doesn't say anything.
No, she just does the face. Because she wants Andy to fail, too.
Yep.
So Wallace and Andy are together in the office, and Andy is, like, saying those things, mm-hmm. and Wallace is just, like, he's busy with paper, so he's not, like, it's not hitting him.
Yeah, it's not really paying attention.
And then he looks out in the office and sees everyone staring at him and realizes that he was being played.
Yep.
So he, like, plays off fire as, like, a metaphor and shit. Wallace leaves, and Andy's pissed off. That's when Aaron enters Andy's office and says, I don't love you anymore. Andy tries telling her that they have a future and are just out of sync right now. He tells her to fake it until the feeling comes back.
Yo, that is the most toxic bullshit I've ever heard.
Like, Andy Bernard's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit. He sucks. But, like, this is, like, abusive level.
Well, that's what I mean. It's fucking toxic. And then she's like...
But, like, he's never displayed that before.
I know.
He's always been, like, the naive guy.
But
she's like,
but what if I'm not happy? He's like, it doesn't matter, because I'll be happy. And it's like, what?
This went off a cliff.
Yeah.
So then Jim cancels the evening plans with Pam. He says he's going to Philly because he wants to avoid a fight.
Mm.
And he gives Pam her Valentine's Day gift, which is like an old sketch she did.
I
feel like I should know what this is, but she's like, oh, you kept it all these years? And it's like, I guess it's like an inside thing that
I didn't recognize it.
No. And you're like a nerd about this shit. Yeah, because I had no idea. But like, they go to leave and she tells him to stay and they'll fight. Mm-hmm. She wants to fight with him.
Because of what Brian said at lunch. He said, while we were fighting, at least it felt like the relationship was still alive. It was when we stopped fighting that we realized that it was
dead. Isn't that toxic in its own right?
It is, but at the same time, I think what Pam and Jim are thinking is if they fight, they're still fighting for their marriage. If they just let it go, they're giving up on their marriage. I think they see it as like, no, we need to fight so that we can get past this and get stronger.
But she went to the boom guy.
She did, but that's what I think, like, they took it as, like,
okay,
we need to keep fighting for this marriage if it's going to work.
But the thing is, it's one thing to fight for the marriage, it's one thing to fight with each other because each of you have done something to ruin that marriage.
Yes, but you have, but if you want to have a chance, you need to get that out there.
I guess, you gotta pop the pimple.
You need to put it out there and try to work through it, because if you just try to do it in silence... Neither person is...
That's what they've been doing.
Putting it in, yeah.
So, putting it in. So Aaron goes outside, she's leaving for the day, and Pete's scraping ice off his car, and she tells him that she couldn't do it.
In the worst fucking way possible.
Yeah.
No rhyme or reason. Anybody who lives where they can get frost on their fucking windshield would never scrape a windshield like that. Plop.
No. So he says he just wants her to be happy. So then she gives him a big kiss and marches back in. And Andy's in his office, and she does it. She says, I was worried about you. I thought you were dead. You were gone for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And just storms out. And Andy's shell-shocked, and we just hear over the phone, it's David Wallace heard the whole thing.
What's that about 3 months, Andy?
I just hear myself say 3 minutes. And that's the end of this episode. And Bear, what did you give it?
I gave it a 2.6.
I gave it a 1.6. I fucking loathed it. I hated it. This episode had no laughs. Maybe one or two. Maybe chunky lemon milk.
The ensemble was good.
Chunky lemon milk? No, but you know what pissed me off? Is that they built up in the beginning Oscar and Daryl,
mm-hmm.
and they had one scene and that was it. Like, the whole thing, like, they went to the mini mall for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And all we got was that nail salon scene. Like, the ensemble didn't do shit.
No, hating on Andy.
Oh, like, well, fuck Andy. Room. Andy was fucking horrible, though.
Yeah, he sucks at everything.
But
Lunch with Brian was awkward as fuck.
There was not one laugh. Were just for a comedy show.
Relationship issues.
For a comedy show.
Yeah.
You know, like, this was the pits. The only reason this is, like...
They had so much potential with the discount stuff, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead, we get Jim and Pam fighting, literally. Yeah. We get Brian, the camera guy, crying for no... Like, this guy's the fucking dirt shit, man. He's the worst. Andy comes back and is just loathsome in every way. Whether you just look at the character for, like, ignoring his girlfriend for 3 months.
Yeah.
Or the way he comes back and, like, loses sales, acts like a... He goes, oh, where's Jim and Pam? They've been gone for 2 hours. And Oscar's like, oh, so you're keeping track on people who are out of work for an extended period of time now. Like, he's like, there's no redeemable qualities. No.
They ruined the character.
This episode was ass.
Yeah.
I hated it. I fucking hated it.
Like, you don't even feel bad for him that he just got broken up with and that his boss knows that
he deserves it.
Lied. Yeah. Like, he's getting his comeuppance.
This is such trash. I hated this. I never want to see Brian again. Mm-hmm. I like this guy's face and his stupid fucking 5 o'clock shadow and like Pam being like Pam's drama now. Pam was never a drama llama. Now she's a drama llama.
Yeah.
And I hate it. This episode, I just don't ever want to talk about it again. This was like horrible. Awful, awful show. And not even like a stupid cold open to like kind of like ease you in. Nothing. Just chunky lemon milk.
God, that's perfect.
Anything you want to talk about?
No, dude.
Nothing at all? You'd want to move on?
Yeah.
All right, that'll take us to season 9, episode 16, Moving On.
Yeah.
Which is inexplicably 40 minutes.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Okay, I didn't know this, because like I said, I've never seen these. But before we start that episode, Bear, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us?
Guys, you can find us on Twitter, at BroSisPodcast. We like to post our favorite screen grabs. There's not a lot from this week, I'm being completely honest.
No, there's nothing. There was nothing. There was not even a sight gag.
Yeah, like, I didn't have anything from this week, if I'm being completely honest.
I don't even remember what Meredith's wig was. Did she just have, like, her own hair?
Yeah, I think it was just, like, a Meredith wig.
I think at the very beginning
she had the long blonde.
That's moving on. Moving on.
She had long blonde
hair.
It's
the blonde one, yeah.
But, whatchamacallit. So you can find us there, or you can find us at Gmail at
Brother Sister Rewatch.
That's the one, at gmail.com.
Yeah. So you can also find the podcast wherever you're listening to us now. Subscribe today. Share us with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your relatives. I don't care who. Share the show and help us grow. We'd greatly appreciate that. And you can also find us each and every Monday on the Jenny Position podcast feed, with other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, and more. So subscribe today to the Jenny Position with Jennifer Smith and friends, and you'll thank me later. So that brings us on to Moving On, and Bear, yeah.
Let's do this. So guys, our cold open. Andy's getting chewed out by Wallace for lying to him about being there for 3 months. Andy's basically like trying any which way to get out of it, saying that David Wallace lied about not why he wasn't coming to Scranton, blah, blah, blah. And Wallace basically sits down like, is like, listen, I'm not going to fire you because you're the reason I have the company. But you and I, we're fucking even now, bro. Mm-hmm. I owe you nothing. And that's it. And yep. Andy's kind of shocked. He still has a fucking job. And he's still the manager Hasn't even been demoted.
We're all shocked by this.
The fuck? Okay, so now it's the next day. Oh, and Andy doesn't have that gross wig on anymore.
He's got his regular haircut.
So the next day, Andy arrives, and he's just, like, super duper awkward with Erin at reception.
Crying.
He starts crying and then creepily looking out the blinds of his office like how Michael used to fucking do.
Yep.
He's basically sobbing, like, wailing in his office. And Phyllis says, being around sad people makes me sad. And then Stanley said, I'm the same way with horny people. Where Pam's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just love that one-liner from Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Plop and Erin have started seeing each other. I don't call him Pete. Fuck Pete.
Yeah,
he's Plop.
I did last episode. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, he's Plop.
Yeah.
They started seeing each other, but they're trying to keep it on the down low to not make it awkward in the office.
Yep.
So he walks in. They don't even like make eye contact. He gets his messages and he walks away. Pam has an interview down in Philly with a real estate company that Jim's company or Jim
helped set up.
So she's, like, apprehensive but excited, I guess?
She's not excited.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
That's basically it, yeah.
But, she's, like, you can tell because she's, like, dressed in a dark business suit.
How she used to dress when she was a salesperson.
Yes. And as she's leaving... Oh, I'm sorry. She's nervous that... She says it's going really fast and that she has a resume that could fit on a post-it note.
Mm-hmm.
She literally does. Did she do nothing before becoming a receptionist?
She apparently didn't go to school.
How fucking old is she?
Well, she's... in real life, she's probably almost 40 here, to be honest. But,
she's not 29.
The character is played... Like, I feel like her and Jim... I mean, I know they're, like, pushing the characters forward with marriage and kids and that.
Yeah.
But they still kind of act like they're in their late 20s. When they obviously are no longer there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway.
Anyway, so now Dwight is on the phone, and you think that he's talking about a dog because He's like, no, you can't let her eat the grass. She'll just throw up.
You gotta put out two bowls in front of her.
Yeah, and it turns out to be Mose and his... Mose, and he is talking about their Aunt Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
So now, basically, I love... Oh, I'm sorry. Is this impeding on your schedule, Mose? She's your aunt, too. So Dwight approaches Angela to help with his Aunt Shirley. He says that the nurse quit after being poisoned by her. And that he needs her help going, and that he's like, she has like a wing type of thing.
Yeah, he's like talking about her falling apart, literally, like, which is not true when they show her.
Yeah, I mean, her clothes are.
Well, her clothes are tattered, but
she
like,
has like a prehensible wing or something he calls it.
But she's definitely not like this physical, he makes it sound like she's like the fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So now Pam is leaving the office and Andy asks her where she's going. And all she says is, not on a 3-month boat trip. Oh, burn.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight and Angela are also leaving and Andy questions them. And Dwight just goes, how dare you? And leaves.
First of all, how dare you?
Yeah. And just leaves. And then Andy looks at Aaron and he just fucking cries.
Yeah.
So now she walks in to give him messages from people who want to buy paper. And he's like, well, I don't want to talk about work. She goes, that's all I want to talk about. And he's like, brings up this blue Nautica sweater.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then he goes back to plopping. She says, I gave it to the Salvation Army. He goes back to plopping Clark to talk about it. And Clark's like, listen, man, you're free now. Like, enjoy the freedom. Now, this is a quote that me and our other brother have gone back and forth with. Last night, I ordered a pizza by myself, and I ate it over the sink like a rat.
Very
and I always say when our brother has his guy nights.
DiGiorno nights.
By himself. He'll, like, eat Domino's or a DiGiorno pizza by himself.
His
and I'm like, did
night.
You eat it over the sink like a rat?
So, thank God he got married.
Right? So now Dwight and Angela arrive at the aunt's house. And the aunt is like, oh, it's Big City Dwight and his little tiny kitchen witch. You look like a little tiny kitchen witch.
Mm-hmm.
And her clothes, like, she stands up, her clothes are literally falling off of her body.
She's wearing rags.
Yeah, her sweater has holes in it, her tits falling out, like.
Literally.
Literally. Angela goes over and covers up her boob with a sweater. And she goes, how would you like a nice warm bath? And she responds with, how would you like a cold, hard slap? And she slaps Angela.
What did
the
five fingers say to the face? I can't even fucking
sleep.
Wow. This episode gets under my skin. I'm just going to be honest.
And basically, she'll only accept homemade schnapps.
This whole stuff with Dwight and his aunt, it's like a cartoon.
It is.
Like, this isn't reality. This, and the thing is, in the upcoming...
They're farm people, apparently.
Oh, God. Listen, I know the people out here. I know there's some inbred hillbilly hicks out here. I understand that. I understand it's like that in every state has their corners. But, like, these people are... They're more than backwards.
Like, they don't even, like... They're, oh, Big City Dwight, because he has a 1980s flip phone.
Yeah, like, they're living, seriously, like... They're
living like pilgrims.
But the thing is, they're not Amish. It's one thing if it's the Amish, like...
Pennsylvania
these,
Dutch.
Yeah, it's one thing if they're that, but these are just, like, normal farmers, allegedly, you know?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So now we go back, and Andy is upset now that Aaron isn't sad about it. And he goes and he snoops through her cell phone. Phyllis warns him not to, and everybody's giving him shit for snooping. And he sees that she's texting some guy.
Oh, also, it should be noted, Aunt Shirley gets put out with a liter of schnapps.
Oh, yeah, half a liter of schnapps
now. I forgot about
that.
My bad.
Sorry, guys. So now he gathers Clark, Daryl, Kevin, and Plop, and admits to looking at Aaron's phone,
mm-hmm.
and that he found out she's texting a guy named Pete. And he's asking everybody if they know who Pete is, and Plop is like, just realized that Andy's been calling me Plop for so long, he forgot my real name, which is Pete.
It's Plop.
And then Andy finds Pete's labeled lunch in the fridge, and he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And Plop is just, like, staring like, fuck. So now Pam arrives at Athlete, and she's all excited. Her and Jim razz each other because Jim's wearing a Bluetooth now.
Brother.
Team Halper, you're going to crush it, Pam.
Yeah,
that's what Isaac says.
His co-workers are all douches.
Douche.
Like the guy who wears the Coke bottle glasses.
Yes.
Who looks like he's blind yelling down the hall and shit.
I feel like if Jim's brothers were there, like they would literally just go like, douche.
We're talking scene stealers right there. I just want to point out here, though, the balding Coke bottle guy. comes out and says, Trent Edwards, we're meeting Trent Edwards. Do you know who that is?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, so he was an early
round. I knew you would.
In 2007, he was an early round, I think it was 2007 or 2008. Buffalo Bills drafted him out of Stanford, I believe, as a quarterback.
Oh, he's a football player. Okay.
He flamed out pretty quick. And by 2012, he was just a backup on the Eagles when this episode, I believe, came out.
Maybe he was looking for some marketing.
Man. He was never fucking good. I don't know if it's a gag. Like, hey, let's get the Eagles' last backup quarterback in here. Because, like...
Well, they are a startup.
I know, but... Well, in next week's episode that talk about, it's a complete 180.
I know.
But, yeah, Trent Edwards... Because the thing is... I haven't heard that name.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, like, I haven't heard that name in such a long time. Like,
I hate the sound.
It's been, like, seriously a decade since I heard that name, so it popped me. But
My mother.
Oh.
Anyway, but it seems like they're fighting on Valentine's Day, kind of, like, resolve some shit, because they seem, like, happy and excited. And,
a bit.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Seems like everything's better.
Not happy, but... It's content.
Yeah. But, like, they're razzing each other like they used to. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? They seem like they're in a better place.
Yep.
So now, Dwight and Angela, yeah, Aunt Shirley's passed out on the couch, and they're going to spray her down, essentially. That's what he says. So then we see Andy calls Plop into his office, and he tells him that he developed chlamydia. From Aaron.
And he reads it off his computer.
It's
he can't,
the fucking word.
He can't he say combines, chlamydia.
Well, he combines syphilis and chlamydia.
Oh, is that? I just thought he thought the CH sound in chlamydia was chlamydia.
Maybe.
Because he's an idiot.
He's a fucking idiot.
I fucking hate this show.
And, like, they kind of just sit there staring at each other. And Pete's just like, you were gone for a really long time. And Andy's like, I knew it. I fucking knew it. Da, da, da. You're fired. And he...
This
I'm
is
not
the
even
going
to dignify this scene with, like, explaining the rest of it.
Because Andy thinks that you had a bad day, but changes it about Plop and getting out of his office and being fired. And this is the moment when, under my breath, as I watch this alone in a darkened room, lit by the faint glow of Christmas tree lights, I muttered to myself under my breath, to no one in particular, I fucking hate this show. Like, this scene broke me.
Oh, shit.
I hate this fucking show. But anyway, continue.
So anyway, then we see Toby telling Andy that just like he can't fire Nellie, he can't fire Pete because of a personal grudge.
Yeah.
And then, for whatever reason, because Toby's...
Which I don't think is true in Pennsylvania.
No, it's an at-will state.
I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, he could also always
you
file
can fire
for
anybody.
Unemployment, but you can get fired.
Yeah.
But, so then... For whatever reason, because Toby is apparently a literal demon and wants to see Andy suffer, he then gives him Plop and Aaron's relationship
contract.
Well,
he doesn't give it. He shows it to him.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, by the way, I wanted to give you this. And Andy, like, crumples it up.
Andy also calls it the same thing Michael Scott called it. I believe he calls
contract.
It a love contract. If he doesn't say love, he definitely says contract.
Relationship contract.
Yeah, he says something like that, just like Michael would.
Yeah. And he's like, it's not the original, Andy. You can't destroy it. And then it turns out that it was the original, so Toby's trying to, like, smooth it out. But, Andy's upset now. So then Pam arrives at the office that she's interviewing at.
Yep.
And you can hear somebody singing and playing guitar. Turns out to be a man named Mark, who's the boss at this real estate farm.
Played by Bob Odenkirk.
That one.
Better
I know
Call
he
Saul.
Plays Better Call Saul, yeah.
Well, and he was on Mr. Show with David Cross back in the day, if you ever saw that. But
he actually interviewed for the role of Michael Scott.
I was gonna say he was up for the final role of Michael Scott, and they threw him this bone at the end of the show's run, where he basically plays Michael Scott here.
Yeah, he gets to play out his dream of playing Michael Scott. He says his name is Marky Mark, and this is the Funky Bunch, and he literally is acting just like Michael Scott.
There's an Asian worker named Carl. And he just points at him and goes, Gangnam Style, right?
Oh,
you know, because you're born in our neck of the woods, but, you know, that's
He's
a good song.
He's from here.
Yeah.
But you know the song.
Just like Michael.
Yes. So now, Dwight is chaining his aunt to a lawn chair.
This is the moment when I realized it was like a fucking Roadrunner Coyote cartoon right now.
And she's like, let's hose me down!
She's
like,
okay with it. She wants to be chained to a lawn chair and with a fire hose.
Yeah, like a literal fire hose.
Like, there were fucking riots about this shit in the 60s, but this woman, that's how she bathes.
And then
he
gives Angela a box cutter to cut her clothes off. And, Angela just refuses, and they fight over the hose, and then she hoses Dwight down, and she said that she's going to give her, like, she's going to bathe her properly.
Like a lady.
She puts her foot down.
Yeah, I just put in my notes here, this is just too insane.
Yeah, it's that's, like, over the line. Like, yeah. The group shower that Gabor was talking about, the junior salesman, like, all right, you're a little weird, but okay, whatever. But to hose down an old woman. Yeah,
like, when you just see it, it's just like, this is stupid.
It's too ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I can't get into it at all.
Yeah. So now, Pam is still on the office tour.
Hold on, there's something in between here. Where Toby is trying to flirt with Nelly.
Oh, I have that next.
Okay, I missed that. My bad. Okay.
Literally, I just said that this dude is literally a Michael Scott copy. Like,
yeah, that's
the
it.
The things that talking he's about his saying, Aunt Jean. I didn't even write down the things that he said, because it's literally like Michael giving Ryan the original tour in first episode.
Yeah.
So now Toby's trying to talk to Nelly, like flirting with her, and he's just like, I came up with more ideas about the trial. And she's like, listen, you need to stop talking about it. If you, like, just do something about it already. And he's like, I'm drafting a letter. And she, like, tweaks. And she's like, for 2 years? It's going to take you 6 months to pick out a stump. 2 months to lick it. Like,
my favorite is his opener to her, though. He's like, he's just staring at her. He goes, February's shortest month, but it doesn't feel it.
Oh, poor Toby. He's trying.
They even make me hate Toby in these episodes. I'm not lying. Like,
he's trying.
They made him a rapist. Like,
literally.
Like, seriously, like, when he, like, presses himself.
He is very rapey. Like, when he tries to massage her shoulder and
like,
shit.
It's fucking weird. Yeah.
So now,
back
we're still on the tour. And we even touch on nepotism, like Michael Scott did.
His Aunt Joan.
Yeah, his Aunt Joan works there. But it's not nepotism, because she worked there before him. And,
Then he tells a guy to chillax. You recognize that guy?
Well, I said there's even a Ryan type of character. I know that. I recognize him, but I didn't look up his name or anything.
He had, like, a multi-episode arc on Scrubs.
Yes!
As the soldier who got the brain injury.
Yes!
Yeah, Brian Dancer.
Okay.
He's been, I'm sure he has a name that's not...
Oh, he absolutely does. That's not Brian Dancer, the PTSD soldier. Yeah.
He's an actor with credits, but that's all I know him as.
Yeah, like, he's the Ryan type character, because he's like, oh, he didn't hear me. And he's like, yes, I did. So now, Aaron goes into the annex. And Andy comes out to the office, and he's, like, blaming everybody else for not doing anything to stop Aaron and Plop from dating.
Yeah.
And Phyllis is like, listen, they're a good match. Just, like, get over it. But Andy's like, they might be a good match, but my feelings matter more.
I got a question. When Phyllis says they're a good match, what the fuck do we have to go on there? Besides that they're young. And he's a 5 and she's a 7.
And
like,
they flirt around the office, I guess.
But, like, there's been no... They watched Die Hard together, but it wasn't about them being together, because she was all upset about Andy.
Yeah.
And, like, she sees him... Like, we never see interactions, really, with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no there.
But Phyllis also said the same thing about Pam and Jim.
But Pam and Jim, like, the cameras show you, like, how they joke around, and when they go out and shit, and they have chemistry. Like, Plop and Aaron have no chemistry at all on this show.
It's like
they're
two...
forcing it.
Yeah.
And also,
two cardboard cutouts just humping each other.
Mark, up in the last segment, also did the Michael Scott thing of saying something and then going, kids in the hall.
Oh, yeah.
And when they started doing coffee talk with Mike
Fluffy
Myers.
Butter.
He's doing that shit.
Like, butter.
He did them pretty well.
Yeah.
Though.
He did.
Yeah, but anyway, fuck Andy and fuck Phyllis for saying they're a good match. And fuck Aaron and Plop. And I fucking hate this. But yeah, they're going after, like, they're telling Andy, like, They're just, like, ripping him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting even more upset.
Yeah.
And it gets worse. The storyline somehow gets worse.
I know. I'll get there. So now we're in the interview, and Pam is, like, playing along with his jokes. And he's looking at her resume, saying how tiny it is. But he's like, you know what this resume says? Is that you're loyal. You don't leave. And
stick around.
And, like, she starts getting all, like,
I don't know why, though, because that's, like a real thing.
Yeah, I do stick around.
I don't move.
At Dunder Mifflin.
I'm stuck in a rut.
I'm gonna miss it there. Like, it's just very strange. And then he asks her if she thinks the people out there like him.
Yeah.
Like, no, do you really think you like they like me? Like, they look up to me, but do they like me?
Michael Scott insecurity.
Yeah. And then he starts singing her resume as Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts ripping a resume apart. paint and art, those are the same things. Yeah, he said we don't have a lot of time for doodling around here.
Yeah, he's pretty mean. Yikes. Just like Michael in the beginning.
Yeah. You're fired. What? I
still hate that.
So now Pete goes to tell Andy that he needs to move on from Aaron.
Oh my god, this is the worst part of this episode. Him and Aaron team up to tell Andy to move on. Yep. And that they had past experience. And that it's like she just like Pearl Harbored him, to use a Gorilla Monsoon phrase. And
yep.
Andy's just sitting there and it's like the internally screaming gym.
Oh yeah.
You know? His eyes are wide and he's not saying anything. Yeah. He's just rocking.
And he's like, what's better than somebody telling you to move on? Your girlfriend and her new boyfriend coming in and telling you to move on. But Plop says about his ex-girlfriend and how she used to work right next to his old apartment and how he'd see her every day and they just had to move past it. And now they're even Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
So now Pam's, he shows Pam where her desk will be and it's at the very front. And then he asks if she's pregnant and backpedals. He's like, I can't ask that. I didn't ask that. I never did ask that. But you're not pregnant.
Because the last few receptionists.
Yeah, he says the last three girls who sat here all got pregnant, which I can't tell if that's a...
A way out?
Yeah. Like, they're just like, fuck it, I'll go on maternity leave and get a new job. I don't care.
Yeah, he gets kind of sexist here.
Yeah, and she's like, not pregnant. He's like, I didn't ask her. She gave that information willingly. Willingly.
He also likes the cameras.
Yeah. Well, he said, she goes, oh, I thought this was for office manager. And he goes, well... Yeah, I mean, it's reception, but we call it that to, you know, give you some dignity. It's less demeaning.
Yeah, less demeaning, yeah.
And then he asks how long the cameras are going to be there, and he imitates Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm, because I think this is pretty cool. Pretty cool. I do that to our brother all the time, too. That's now part of my vernacular, just like, pretty cool.
I do the Jake Peralta, cool. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I like it a lot more than Jesus. The Office. Just throwing that out there.
Fuck you.
Dropping grenades.
Anyway, so now Pam says that she spent 10 years as a receptionist, Michael Scott, and now she has kids. She doesn't think she can go back to that.
Yep.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So now Dwight walks in as Angela, who has now bathed Aunt Shirley, dressed her in her new clothes.
And tamed her,
is braiding her hair. All because of Angela's authoritarian way. And she's like, my braid's too tight. And she's like, a loose braid reflects loose moral character, Aunt Shirley. And your hair is far too long for your age. And she goes, thank you, Angela. Like, she's like super subservient now. So now, back at the office, Toby announces that he's going to the prison to talk to the Strangler. And Nellie's like, maybe you should use his real name. And I love Daryl. Do not use his real name. And she's like, what is it? And he goes, George Howard Scum. That's a devil name. It absolutely is, though.
It's an ugly name.
It really is. So now Pam is at Jim's apartment in Philly. And Jim calls to check in, and she's like, oh, it went good. I can't wait to tell you about it. And he's like, all right, awesome. Come to the office at 8. I'm ordering in, so don't eat, and we'll catch up then. And like,
I'll make it worth your while, he says.
Yeah, and you can tell Pam's like, oh, 4 hours from now.
Pam also said it went great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see.
A blonde woman arrives.
Oh, yeah. A new woman arrives, and we find that she's a new marketing consultant. Meredith Prison Cat calls her, like, fresh meat, fresh meat. And Aaron takes her to her desk. And we find out...
In the annex.
And we find out that it's Pete's ex-girlfriend, Alice. Pete understands what's going on and realizes that Andy hired her to make it awkward. And then Aaron realizes that he also hired another consultant, a managing consultant today. She goes back out into the office... And there's Gabe! Oh. And Creed goes, the Birdman's back!
It's so awesome. The Birdman! So awesome.
And he's ready to jump back in.
And then Creed says, she's looking pretty good. Right. Why Creed and Gabe have this weird conversation?
Amazing!
Awesome.
But, okay, I have a question, though.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Aaron's, like, deal? Because why is everybody so hung up on her?
Yeah, I don't know.
All of her past boyfriends. Her fucking foster brother tried to get with her.
Gross.
Gabe, Andy, like... I'm going to quote 10 Things I Hate About You, Heath Ledger, in that movie. What's this chick got beer-flavored nipples? Like, what the fuck?
I'll say this, because he just arrived. The highlight of this episode is Gabriel Susan Lewis.
Oh my god, yes he is.
He owns this episode.
He is the guardian angel of this episode.
He really is.
So now Andy is very pleased with himself. He's just like surveying the office like, yep, I did that. So now Toby arrives at the prison and he says he's going to go in and tell George Howard Scubb that he thinks he is innocent, that he's trying to manage his expectations. He's like, I don't think, you know, I don't have many expectations, but maybe I'll be hugged. Maybe we'll become friends. It's like, whoa. So now Alice and Clark are talking about Pete. Andy arrives and makes it even more awkward.
Rubs it in, turns the tables.
He's like, oh, is it not okay to work with your ex? Because that's what you said earlier, is that it should be totally fine. You're moved on. You're over it, right? And the ex is now pissed that there's no marketing department. And she now understands what's happening. It just reminds me of when he sat in the jungle down in Florida.
Oh, it's so perfect.
He has an end table with a Mac on it and like a nameplate that says Gabe Lewis.
He has his old nameplate. Mm-hmm. And it's just on, it's like, he's sitting on the couch next to the reception. His knees are over this table.
Yes. It's absolutely awesome. He's telling Aaron, you know, like, it was really bad. I was unemployed. I lost 50 pounds. Obviously, I gained it all back. Feel this ass. It feels like two warm pumpkins. And she's like, no, I don't, like, what the fuck? So now, an ambulance now shows up at the prison. Toby was choked, and his vocal cords are now damaged.
Yeah, Toby does a stretcher job. Yeah. It's awesome.
And Nellie goes to pick him up from the hospital. Toby can't speak, and so he just has to, like, shake his whole body, because he's in a neck brace as well. And she tries to make him feel better by saying, like, what he did was brave.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, smiles. Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get some.
Ew. Get
that. At least
you
shaved the mustache.
Yeah, that's true. So now, Aunt Shirley is all dressed up.
Prostates. Sorry.
Okay. So Aunt Shirley is now all dressed up, and Angela made dinner for her and Dwight. She made stew, and Dwight is now carving the roast skunk.
Delightful.
And he offers her the stink sack and says the prettiest girl gets the stink sack. And Aunt Shirley thinks that they're together and asks when the wedding is. Awkward. Yeah. And they say that they're just friends. Now, this is just pure imagery here, guys. That's what Mo said about that lady scarecrow. And look what he did to that poor thing.
I forgot that was something earlier in like one of the seasons. I forgot about that.
My favorite.
Look what he did to that thing. So somebody taught him sex.
Maybe. We don't know. So now Pam arrives at Athlete, and Jim has like a little dinner table out with a tablecloth and his takeout and champagne. And Pam's like, oh, I didn't get the job. Like, this isn't to celebrate. But Jim's like, I'm just excited you're here. You're in Philly. This is great. And he like, quick on his feet, like, oh, this is from the part of France that immediately gave up to the Nazis.
That's a funny one for a history nerd.
Thank God. So now Dwight sees Angela off, and it's kind of like a throwback to how they used to be.
Yeah.
And they go to shake hands, and then they end up making out. But Angela stops it, and he's like, oh, you're right, not outside. The horse flies. And he offers to go to his farm or the slaughterhouse.
Yep.
And Angela turns him down, and he tells her to just leave the senator. It's not like he'll notice. And he wants to be with her. He's like, we've spent too much of our lives denying that we belong together. Mm-hmm. It's not just about frisky sex. You're not just my monkey.
Yeah, he makes a move.
And Angela said that she made a vow. She made a promise. And he said he understands, and that's what he would want from her if she was
stand
his.
Stand by your man. Yes. Yeah, he just quotes Tammy Wynette out of nowhere.
Really weird. So now, Aaron and Plop...
Oh, it's the highlight of the episode. Finally, 40 fucking minutes in.
Are still at the office at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
For fuck what's sake. But, Andy calls them into the conference room. They're sitting next to their exes, so Plop and Alice on one side, Gabe and Aaron on the other side. Gabe, Susan, Lewis saved this episode, guys.
This whole scene is just him, and he's a tour de force.
He's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So now, Gabe is... They're like, how did you feel when, or how did today go? And Gabe was like, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, well, what made it weird? The fact that you and Aaron broke up. And he goes, well, I still wear her button-downs around the condo. So for me, it really feels like we didn't ever break up. And Aaron is like mortified.
Oh, yeah.
And Plop is just like, oh, wow. Like, what the fuck? You dated this dude? Then Alice says that Plop has a drinking problem.
Yeah, that just comes out of nowhere.
Wow. And then here's Aaron being a serious person again. Like, Gabe, we're not together. I didn't love you. Like, she's fucking bipolar. One day she's a fucking moron. And then she's like, I can stand up for myself. And I can be with who I want to be
with. Big, strong, independent woman.
Ugh, who can't even fucking accept an order of pens. Anyway. Then Alice low blows Pete about his degree. How's that PE degree going?
That's after he says, oh, you're dating a secretary now?
Yeah, she digs in on Aaron, gives him shit about his degree, and now they're all just fighting. Gabe's amazing lines.
Yes.
Aaron, I'm as smooth as a porpoise for you.
Yeah, oh, that one. That one, and when he gets all serious, it calms down.
I've been to Japan before.
Yeah, because the girl, what's her name, Alice?
Alice. She's like, he can't even use chopsticks.
Yeah, and Gabe's like, I've been to Japan. I know chopsticks. But then it calms down. Gabe gets all serious and leans across the table. And he goes, Peter, do you like music?
Oh,
and Pete's like, yeah, like all kinds of music. And Gabe just goes, oh, so you like the hateful songs of the Ku Klux Klan? Aaron, are you hearing this?
Like, she's like, he never said that.
Gabe's like, he's a racist. Like, it is fucking hilarious.
Gabe saved at least his part of the 100%, episode.
100%.
Absolutely. And Andy is just like sitting back and watching it happen. And it makes, he goes, yeah, it does make me feel better. Yeah,
he definitely, and you know what? If I was in his shoes, I'm actually
on Andy's side. For this moment, I'm with Andy. Point.
I'm like, yeah, because they were so fucking smarmy.
Yes.
And pompous and arrogant going in there. Like,
even though we just broke up yesterday, you need to get over it.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Like, oh. So, yeah, I'm glad they got theirs.
Yeah. So now Pam, she's telling Jim about her interview, and she says, he did half the thing as Ace Ventura. He's the real estate version of Michael Scott. He has a... She tries to make him guess the movie poster on the wall, The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Yeah. And they're all, like, they're laughing, they're having a great time together. And Jim's like, well, not everyone can be great, but the next one will be better. And that's when Pam kind of stops and she's like, I don't know if I want this.
Then she shouldn't have gone down for an interview.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Because then... By doing that, you give Jim false hope that that's what you do want. So I have no problem with him being sideswiped by this. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly how he feels. And the total mood is killed. And she's like, I like the life we have in Scranton. He goes, and I started a business in Philly.
And there's silence.
Yeah. And you would think that's how the episode ends.
Nope.
But no, they
because
go
it's
on 45 a fucking,
minutes.
They go on a fucking like 5-minute diatribe about fucking Oscar, who's watching WVIA on his work computer.
WVIA
at work.
Is the local PBS affiliate in Scranton, yes.
And he's watching a documentary on
Eastern Games. I don't know. I didn't pick it up. It's like dominoes, wasn't it?
It's similar, but it's not. Mahjong or something like that. Guys, I'm sorry if I fucking butchered that. But he says about how he's doing ab blast, and he hangs upside down in the doorway, and he
like Bruce sit-ups. Wayne in the middle of the first Batman movie, in the middle of the night when Vicky Vale sees him hanging upside down. He's doing sit-ups on one of those things in the doorway, and nobody helps him.
No,
he's going to die.
Gets stuck. He's getting a head rush. Phyllis is like, oh, these teas are hot. They move him out of the way to get Phyllis out of the kitchen.
And then slam the door in his
face. Kevin shuts the door to the kitchen, and on his computer you see an ad for The Office. And the documentary...
starts in May.
Yeah. I actually took a picture of, like, the description.
Okay, I have a real question here.
It says, 10 years in the making. A look at the lives and the loves of an average American small business.
And I have a question here.
Yes?
If it's coming out in May, this episode came on at, I guess, late February.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they still recording? are they filming up to the... Like, how are they going to edit this shit? Like, that's... Part
well,
of it,
I
know?
Feel like it's a documentary series. It's not like...
Well, they said 9 nights in May.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's next episode they say that. But it's only a 9-night event, which leads me to believe, okay, let's say they do it for 3 hours tops, like 8 to 11 spot on PBS. 3 times 9, you got 27 hours worth.
Yeah. Stretching it.
Yeah.
Stretching it, man.
With all the stuff they got. Yeah. And yeah. But they're doing it up to the end. Like, mm-hmm. It just seems like a, you know, again, writing in season 9 kind of shoddy.
Yeah.
That they're going to release this thing as they're filming it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. That's the end of the episode. What'd you give it?
I gave this one a 2.5.
I gave it a 1.8. I fucking hated it. Wow. Except for Gabe Lewis. Gabe Lewis, the only thing that saved this.
Gabriel Susan Lewis. GSL.
Full name. GSL.
Okay, so I like the dynamic between Angela and Dwight coming back. Like, it's kind of a throwback to the earlier season.
But the stuff with the aunt was stupid. I didn't like it.
It was, but it kind of sets up for next week. But
you're right. Okay, yeah.
So Gabe returning and his one-liners was literally the only good part of that entire storyline.
Yes.
Jim and Pam.
Everybody comes up. See, the thing is, because, like, the last episode we talked about, we were like, oh, Aaron's in the right to do this and mm-hmm. all that shit. But then the way her and Plop acted this episode, they totally, all the goodwill is crushed. And everybody in the storyline is an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, you don't root for anybody because they're all horrible.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the end of it. And the thing is, if what you're watching, you hate everybody and you're not rooting for anybody, it's not an enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
It's like when I went to see Gone Girl in the theater and everybody was telling me how good it was. I'm like, everybody sucks. Everybody's a fucking asshole. I hate this movie.
Yeah, you don't root for anybody.
No, it's just like, oh, yeah, let's just root for evil. Like...
That's not a mantra for 2020. I don't know what
is. I just fucking hated it, man. And that's how I felt with, like, the whole Andy Aaron Plop thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Jim Pam thing. They all thing,
turned
whatever.
Out to be douches.
Like, what'd you think?
Well, Jim and Pam, I feel like that's, like, real couple drama and stuff like that.
I think the episode hinges on how you feel about one thing. And that's the Bob Odenkirk character. I liked it. I like it was cool.
Really?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was a little bit much.
I said it was way too much of a reheat of Michael Scott. It literally Well, I mean,
that's
was
the
his...
point, though, that she was going to go see another Michael Scott. Though.
Yeah, but I mean, it was literally, like, storylines that Michael like had.
There's not two people in the world like that.
Yeah. To go that extreme.
Yeah. But...
You can have some similarities, but, like, this guy was like a chooka-chooka. A carbon copy of Michael Scott, blonde.
I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was great or anything, but I was like, it's all right, whatever. And, like, the big thing for me was still Gabe.
Yeah, no, Gabe is 2 points out of this 2.5.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this all started with Andy not losing his job, too, right?
Yeah.
This was such a long...
And then Oscar, the closing was like, I understand that they needed to show us like, WVIA, but like, Jesus Christ, that was a roundabout way to get to that.
And it was just this whole thing, like this, we've watched episodes before that were like double episodes, like the 40, 45 minute run times.
This
one felt like a fucking marathon.
Yeah.
This was a baton death march to get through.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it. And I'm one point, I know like I don't give out many sub twos. When I do, I really hate it. And there's two this week that I really fucking hated. This show is just going off a cliff, and we only have a few more weeks.
As a porpoise.
Do you hear that, Aaron? He's a racist. Like, that whole shit.
He doesn't even know how to use shishimi. He's
so awesome. Oh, God, but if anything else you want to talk about?
No, dude, I want to be done with this
What do we got next week?
Next week, we have episode 17, The Farm, and episode 18, Promos.
Can't wait. All right, so everybody, that'll be it for this week. However, you can find us each and every Monday on any podcatching app that you use. You can subscribe today to Spotify, Podbean, Anchor, Google iTunes, Podcast, Apple.
Ginny Position.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find us, as well as the Ginny Position podcast feed each and every Monday. You'll find us, as well as some other great shows there. And also, if you want to reach out to us, follow us on Twitter at BrosisPodcast. Or send us, if you have longer form feedback, send us an email to brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll answer it as soon as possible. I think that's about it, Bear, right?
I think so.
All right, guys. We'll catch you on down the road.
Thanks, guys.